Let's think back and take a stroll down memory lane. What happened in the last week? Well, we've had political debates and various things going on there. We had a Super Bowl happen last week. We won't talk about that. We had an Ash Wednesday service Wednesday night at Ground Zero that was fantastic. An opportunity to kind of learn some history and the meaning behind Ash Wednesday. A lot of different things going on. We had men's breakfast yesterday. And then in the midst of all those things that just happened around here in the world, we just had life going on. Amen? All right. Life happens, right? Well, in the midst of life happening, what do we have to remember? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... Amen. All right. You guys sound pretty good and pretty excited for February. Weather's getting a little better. It's getting a little better. And I don't want to let anyone down, but the last 2 years, the first Sunday in March, we canceled service due to snow and ice. But weather's getting better, okay? We may have to go through the storm before we get there. And then today, it's Valentine's Day. What a great special day for all those people that celebrate it. And those that have no longer celebrated it for a number of reasons. They've grown older together, may not celebrate that. They decided to invest money in other things. And I can remember as a young man, a young teenager, not a man, a young teenager, trying to get just the right gift for my girlfriend and give it to her. That didn't pan out well. As a matter of fact, I have that gift in my dresser drawer still for some reason, but I have that gift. It was given back to me. So I didn't do too well. I'm hoping to do much better in the years to come. And the past several years, as I've been married to my wife, she said no. Okay. Well, I have some work to do. Amen? Some work to do. My goodness. Valentine's Day. So much to do about something we should be doing every day. And that is showing and demonstrating love. Amen? I just want to see if y'all are listening. But we're going to be talking about love today. Imagine that. The month of love. Now, those of you that may be single for whatever reason, don't think, oh, this is going to be about married couples and how to treat each other. No, it's not. This is about love. And we're going to be talking about Christian love today. Young teenagers in the back, same thing. Christian love today is what we're talking about. Not the boyfriend and girlfriend type of love that you guys may be just hung up on right now. But and some of you adults maybe also. But we're going to be talking about Christian love and what the Bible says about it. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Give you one guess what chapter. 13, the love chapter. Imagine that. What a surprise, Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And as you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I want you to think back. Where did I have an opportunity in the last week to show love to somebody or to express love to somebody? And the love that the Bible talks about, it isn't just love to somebody we know. It's not just love to somebody that we're married to, somebody we're dating. This is love to strangers. As a matter of fact, I sometimes think that's the strongest place where Christ's love is demonstrated, is when we do things for strangers, people we don't even know. Acts of kindness. I think sometimes those small acts of kindness show bigger love than we can imagine and show Christ's love in a bigger way than we have any idea. Keep that in mind as you think, well, it won't matter. It does matter. Slowing down just to pat somebody on the shoulder, just to touch them and say hello, good morning. Those things that we may think it's no big deal. To that person, it may be a really big deal because no one's done that in years and years. So as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 is where we'll start. And again, today when we talk about love, we're talking about all people. This encompasses all people. Christ's love encompasses all people. So this isn't just for married people, not just for couples that are dating or anything like that. This is for all people. And we're going to read just a couple verses at a time and break those down. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 through 3 is what we'll begin with. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So let's just break that down. I've got all these things, and the Bible talks about this in Matthew. It says, did we not know you? And Jesus said, depart from me, I do not know you. And I said, did we not do these things in your name? And this talks about, hey, you've got this stuff. You speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Wow, what a great speaker that person is. But you have not love, you become what? You become annoying. I'm just going to paraphrase it. You become annoying. Clanging cymbals and brass. When done at the wrong time, in the wrong way, in the wrong place, that's just annoying. If Andrew Bellflower came up here and just started banging that drum to beat all for no reason, and it didn't mean anything and no rhythm, it'd just become annoying. You ever get a group of beginning band students together, the first time they're all trying to play their instruments together, the brass? You've got to have a special gift to be a music teacher for a beginning band. But in time, right? But in time. So, you become annoying. That's great. I've got all these other things. Adam, I've got the gift of prophecy. I understand all the mysteries and all knowledge. And I have all faith. But Adam, I don't have love. The Bible says you have what then? You have nothing. Okay, well, let's give it another test. I've got all these other things. Hey, I've given all my goods to other people. I've given myself to be burned as a martyr. I'm even going to give my life, but I don't have love. You have, again, nothing. So all these things in the first three verses, you've got, you have. And the Bible says, but if you don't have love with any of that, or all of that, you have nothing. It profits me nothing. Churches are filled with people with many gifts. And somewhere along the line, they have missed the gift of love. They don't have it for whatever reason. It's buried behind years of hurt and pain and suffering. It's hidden behind lack of teaching on love and what it is and what it means to love somebody with the love of Christ. And with all those gifts, yet there's nothing. I have become annoying, is my word in there. I am nothing, and it profits me nothing. All these gifts don't matter. All these generous acts you do. We're going to go to the food bank and feed and get boxes together to feed the hungry. Big deal if you don't have love in your heart. Big deal. We're going on a mission trip. We're going to do this. Big deal. If you don't have love, it really doesn't mean anything. Let's continue on. Verse 4 through 8. Listen carefully to what love is. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. We'll come back to that one. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But what does love do? Rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. In the first three words in my Bible version of verse 8, love never fails. Love does not fail. When we think love fails, it really, if we go back and read these other things, verse 4 through 7, or 4 through 6 really, it's those things that failed. Oh, heck, let's just read on. Verse 8, it says, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part as we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Again, we may have these gifts, and these things will go away. Our wisdom and knowledge will go away. It'll vanish. prophecy. Man, again, it's kind of like, yeah, and? Where there are prophecies, they will fail. So we talk about these things, remind us of what we may think it is, but what they are, they will fail, they will cease, and they will vanish, those things that we think it is. But it tells us the things that it will do and the things that it is. It will endure. It believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things, and rejoices in the truth. I can find some victory in that. I can find some satisfaction in that stuff. I mean, that stuff is great. Verse 13, the very last verse of chapter 13. Very familiar verses. We read these times a lot in weddings. And it says, "And now abide faith, hope, love." These three. But the greatest of these is love. Faith enables us to come to God. That's important. Faith enables us to come to God. But the greatest of these is love. Why is that? Because love is what enables us to imitate Christ. We're called to be Christ-like. Are we not? We are called to be ambassadors of Christ. How do we do that if we don't follow the example? So faith brings us to God. Love allows us and shows us how to be Christ-like and how to imitate Christ. How to forgive others. Now I want us to look at chapter 14. Two words. First two words say what? Pursue love. I got to tell you, as we were having a discussion earlier in the week, someone said, read the first verse of chapter 14, and I blew right through that, and I blew right over those two words like I've done so many times. And I thought, what am I looking for in here? I don't, some spiritual gifts, okay, prophecy, or that you may prophesy. It was those first two words that I just blew right past, that we do so many times reading this thing. The instruction manual. You ever read an instruction manual and you blow past the very important ones? Do not go to step two until you complete this. Okay, I'm going to step two. It looks pretty simple. You get all the way through with this thing, you go, oh, dang it. This part was in step one. I forgot it. And it says, pursue love. Pursue in this text, translated, is supposed to mean something to say, do it with urgency. Run, hasten, chase after it, go after it. So when it says pursue love, it's talking about you need to go after it quickly. You need to seek it out. See what it looks like. And a lot of times we can talk about discipleship programs in churches, or I want to make disciples. The Bible tells us, make disciples of all the nations. What in the world does that look like? As near as I can tell, the best definition or the best description is someone that loves through all things. It's not the love that hinges on how somebody treated you. It's a love that says, I will look past this and I'll still love you. I'll still care about you. I'll still be generous to you. I don't know you in your situation, but I will help you out because you need help. When we show kindness to strangers, we talked yesterday in our men's breakfast about clothing ourselves in kindness. And Eric covered that. And I thought it was very fascinating as we got discussing that, that we can put that on, but it's not really something we can put on. And Mark brought up that, you know, it's something you leave on. I put on kindness, but I don't take it off. But in reality, I think we do. And it also says, put on the new man. While it suits us, no pun intended, but when it doesn't suit us, we put off the new man and we put on that comfortable robe that's the old man. And we sit around in our lounge chair doing our old stuff. And it's the same thing here. as we put on kindness, as we put on the new man, as we clothe ourselves in humility, not humiliation. You may be humiliated in front of Christ, but He will humble you. And when you go before Him in humiliation, you know, when you humble yourself, that's a different thing. We are ambassadors of Christ. Think about when various diplomatic people come to the country and they misbehave and they get a pass and go back. We have to remember who we represent. I've told the story before of my little pastor thing hanging on my rearview mirror. You got to be careful how you drive and what you say with that thing dangling. I thought, man, I just want to put a big old sign in the back of my car that says, if driving poorly, please contact Prayer Faith World Outreach. I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell me I stink. Just as a reminder, but I thought, no, the phone would just be burning up. So I have a ways to go to improve myself. Pursue love. As Christ followers, we should be pursuing Christ, following after Him. And one of the other things it says that we need to do is pick up our cross daily. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about that. We have to pick up our cross daily, but we do the same thing as we do, clothing ourselves in kindness, putting on the new man. Oh, it's something that can be set down and taken off. It wasn't intended that way. By the way, you pick up the cross and you carry it. Oh, don't set it down, as we've talked about. It'll become a clothes rack. It'll become a firewood. It'll become whatever. It'll become dirt as you throw dirt on top of it to bury it. So you don't have to look at it as a reminder of how you're misbehaving. I told many of you guys that. When I walked away from Christ, I did that for many years, and that cross just was shoved away somewhere else. That's why we have to pick it up daily and carry it. Pursue it. We can choose a lot of stuff in life that we want to do or be, but we must pursue love. It's not an option for Christ followers. So let's get down to the real struggle of why we have trouble in love. Well, you see, I've been hurt in my past, Adam. I've been hurt in a relationship of love. I've been hurt in life itself. I've been hurt at a job. I've been hurt by death of a loved one. I've been hurt by the church. I've been hurt by my family. And Adam, the love I know doesn't really cover that. It may not be the love that you know, but it is the love that's talked about here. And we want to help you know what that love is, because it can get you through that. Adam, I've been offended in love, in life, in family, in church. I've been abused in love, in life, in the church, and in the family. I've been lied to and cheated on and ripped off by life, loved ones, family, church. The real struggle is sometimes we don't know how to let it go, and sometimes we don't want to let it go. You see, when somebody's hurt me and cheated on me or divorced me or died on me, I don't want to let them off the hook that easy and that quick. Because that punishment is too quick and easy for them. And they've hurt me and they've ruined my life. They've torn the family apart. I'm alone now. I'm alone with kids now. All these various scenarios that fill this church and other churches around the world. I don't know how to get past that, Adam. Adam, if I was to be dead honest with you, I don't want to get past that. I want them to suffer, and I want to dish out the consequences. Well, now you're just playing God. And I know you want to do that, and I've felt the same way in the past. But we cannot play God and expect to receive God's full blessings on this side while trying to do His work. And by that I mean do the work for Him. I'm not talking about His work that He's called us to do. And we can't do that and move on. But today, if you fit in one or more of those categories, hurt, abused, offended, lied to, cheated on, all those different things, and there's many other things, I've got great news. Love rejoices in truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. We want a quick answer, but love endures all things, and love never fails. Amen? Do you believe that today? Love never fails? Let's say it together. Love never fails. We've got to remember that. The love of Christ never fails. Man's love may fail, but the love that we're talking about here in the Bible, love never fails. Pursue love because it never fails. Read something real quick in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4 through 8. 4:8, I'm sorry. It says, and above all things. Okay, what that means is this, and this are important. However, above all things, have fervent love for one another. Why? For love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. We don't have to hang on to that. When we have the love of Christ, that will help us also to get over and get past things. It'll teach us that we don't have to be weighted down and hang on to those things. This, and this are important, but above all things, have fervent love for one another. There's so many different things we can talk about, and love, and what love is, and Valentine's Day. But I want us all to know on this day, God says, man, to the world, be my Valentine. Because I love you all, and I have great love. Great love for each and every one of you. No matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been through, I have love for you. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 through 26, and we'll close with that. And it's quite a bit, and it looks at some different things. But to me, it really tells us who our character is, and as we talk about the love of Christ, what we do. And it says, remind them of these things. Church, we need to be reminded fairly often of these things. Not these specifically, but these that are in God's Word. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now listen to this. As people that are trying to be imitators of Christ, it says, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. We don't have to get caught up in rumors and gossip and all that kind of stuff. Idle talk. Their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. They have strayed concerning the truth. They were in the church, but they have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. When you have named the name of Christ, flee from sin. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now listen, because I know throughout time, people have come into the house of God and said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of this forgiveness. I'm not worthy of His love. He says, you are. By the blood of Christ, you are. He has redeemed you. You don't need to wallow in that anymore. You don't need to carry that burden around any longer. You can lay it down and set it down and leave it there and not have to go back and look at it every now and then. Sometimes sometimes we go to the cemetery. I know many of you go to the cemetery and you sit with loved ones. I've been to the cemetery many times and just sat there or stood there, just in the presence. And that's fine. But sin is one of those things, when you bear it, you don't go back and look at it anymore, and you don't have to spend time with it, and you don't have to come back and wonder what that was that you were carrying around. You put it down and you bury it and you leave it behind. He says, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. You're set apart by God for His work now. Flee also youthful lust. And here again it says, but pursue righteousness, faith. Love is in the middle of that. Peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Foolish and ignorant disputes. You're probably the only one that thinks it's worth fighting for. But the rest are going, man, this is ridiculous. It says, man, avoid those things, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. For if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Simple acts of kindness are ways to show God's love. We are to be a reflection of His love and His light to those we come in contact with. His love comes through us and goes out to others. Do we have it in us? Do we not have it in us? I'm reading a book right now by George W. Farrell. Don't go look for it. It was written in the 1950s. It was one of my father's books, and he was a teacher of my father in seminary. When my dad was in seminary, he was one of his teachers, and my dad thought the world of this guy, so much that he gave my older brother his last name for my brother's middle name, Farrell. Weird middle name, but that's where it came about. So I'm reading one of my dad's old books by this guy, and it says, Faith Active in Love. And the book states in there that the Christian life is a life of faith which must express itself in love towards fellow man. For to love God means to love your neighbor. And then he supposes in there that God is saying, if you want to love and to serve me, do it through your neighbor because he needs your help. I don't. And that's what it's talking about in here, where it says, you can do all these things, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. It profits you nothing. You have nothing. And it's annoying. Or you're annoying. Take it how you want. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. And it tells us, if we claim to know God and do not love, then we're liars. Pursue love on this Valentine's Day. And rather than saying one day a year, let's just show and tell people how much we love them, let's also make an active thought in our mind to do it each and every day. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've given us a special day to express our love towards our loved ones. But God, we know that your word calls us to a different type of love. A love that does not have walls or boundaries or barriers. a love that is free to all. And God, we ask today that you just help us on a journey to show love to other people in a greater way. Through our actions, through our words. Sometimes, God, through our lack of actions if they're dishonoring to you, or our lack of words if they dishonor you. But God, you've called us to step up, be ambassadors of Christ, to be imitators of Christ, and we do that by showing your love. God, when we're angry and upset over the past, possibly even the present, God, that you would help us remember love covers a multitude of sins. God, you've showed us what love is not. You've showed us what love is and what it does. It does suffer long. It is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but does rejoice in truth. God, you've told us that it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. God, for those here today that may not know your love, may they begin today by believing your word is a starting place where it says love never fails. God, for those who are in a place that may have just forgotten that your word says that, help remind them that love never fails. Your love never fails. Where man's love has failed, yours does not. God, touch our hearts today. Show us your love throughout the week, and help us to express your love throughout the week as we have opportunity to. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.